and Germs. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live 29 May 2020 here on Stop the Presses at the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Right now, there's a new version of the Citizen Reporter pamphlet, a quick footnote here, that was just posted on the RBN website, and for the time being, it's in the main article feed in the slideshow at the top of the homepage, and that is urgent COVID-19 pamphlet updated. Our death counts and tests, that is, our death counts and cases of COVID-19 being overcounted. So that's the updated version of that. And it's important to note, ladies and gentlemen, that when you click on that article, you read the actual contents in the regular text of the article, but you can also click on a PDF link, and what you'll see is a two-sided document that can be shared electronically, very virally, of course. We want to get it, pump it around and get it out to protesters and those that are trying to get the word out. But you can also print it, two sides of a normal sheet of paper, standard size paper, black and white, so no big expense, and you can print it and make a trifold pamphlet. So just calling attention to that. I may have time to mention it one more time, but there it is up there, the new Citizen Reporter pamphlet. Check it out, print it out, share it electronically. A little bit of both, of course, helps. I give some suggestions at the top of it. You can share it, as I do, with drive-through restaurant clerks, bank clerks, anyone you meet in your normal goings-on. Check out people at the stores, grocery stores, convenience stores, gas stations, whatever. I always have some in my pocket, and I share it electronically. It debunks the data given to us by the mass media cartel over the issue that is very difficult not to talk about in the news these days, and that's this all-encompassing COVID-19, of course. But to help me do that today and to bring us some fresh perspective is a journalist friend of mine whom I have not seen in a while, but we've been speaking lately. I first met him at the Bilderberg UK meeting in 2013 when those fabulous chaps from Bilderberg met at the Grove near London, just north of London. And that is Neil Foster. How you doing, Neil?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Mighty fine. Now, you're writing for contributing writer. Let me get it out here. The first few minutes are always kind of tricky. A contributing writer for the Irish Sentinel, and you do something up and coming here, pretty new, called Reality Bites Radio. Have I got that right?
Correct. But we did actually do Reality Bites Radio a number of years ago, but while I was going through the long and tedious immigration process to get to the States, I laid off that for a while. I thought that was the wiser move.
So this is a return of Reality Bites Radio in terms of your involvement then?
Yeah, well, it was my kind of baby in the first place, but in terms of the Irish Sentinel newspaper, that's a rehash of the old Sovereign Independent, which we had copies out when you were at Bilderberg, I believe.
Yes, I remember that. I'm glad to hear that the Sovereign Independent, you know, kept going in a slightly different form and with a different name. They're both good names. I won't say one name of the paper is better than the other. But I'm looking at the issue right now, The Gates of Hell Unlocked, big bold letters as a front page headline. So the Irish Sentinel, formerly the Sovereign Independent, is circulated both electronically and in print. Is that correct?
Yeah. We just printed 30,000 copies in hard copy, and the PDFs available for free on the website.
Did you say 30,000?
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic. We'll have to get some sent here to the States if there aren't some here already. I know it's printed overseas. If I'm not mistaken, it's printed overseas, right? Or is it printed here?
It's printed in Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah, but I've got 100 copies, but I'm going to a no mandatory vaccination protest tomorrow, so they'll probably be gone, hopefully. But I can get some more sent over.
Just for the record, for listeners live and on the archive, where and when is that protest?
It's at 9 o'clock tomorrow in Orlando, and I have the address somewhere. It's on
9 a.m.
Broadway.
Eastern tomorrow, May 30th in Orlando, Florida. Okay, just getting that out real quick.
Yep, I think it's Broad Street, if I just remember correctly.
Broad Street.
I think so, yeah. I'm just checking.
Okay, just for Florida listeners or South Georgia listeners or anyone in that greater vicinity that might want to take part, perhaps it can be seen on Facebook or through social media. But
yeah,
I appreciate. Yeah, go on, Neil.
Just to clear, it's 4953 New Broad Street.
4953 New Broad Street, Orlando,
yep.
Florida, tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
And the theme once more is what now? What's the theme?
No mandatory vaccinations.
Nice and simple. Yeah, and as we've both been documenting in our own way, you know, the madness just keeps getting crazier and crazier and crazier. Now, you sent me an article. I take it this writer is someone you know. It's a pseudonym, I would assume. Hell in a Handbasket. That's a pretty catchy name. I also used the one time myself. I called it No Agenda. But Hell in a Handbasket, whether we identify that writer or not, in an article dated yesterday, points out some very interesting things. Go ahead and kind of outline that for me, if you would.
Which article is it?
Oh, virus? What virus? The one you sent me. You said...
that was just today. That was today,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, no problem.
It looked to be dated yesterday, but go on.
Okay, well, basically, in the Telegraph, the Sunday Telegraph, Sunday just passed, one of the senior vaccine makers, shall we say, magicians, basically said that the virus was disappearing so fast that there was only now a 50% chance that they could produce a vaccine because they'd be struggling to find sick people. Well, to me, that tells you that it's just an ordinary virus which has disappeared in the spring.
It certainly suggests it, you know, that as many of us have insisted, this appears to be no different, or at least not significantly different, than the seasonal flu. And in fact, coronaviruses, as we know, are a family of viruses that includes the common cold and the seasonal flu. And we have argued vehemently that you don't shut down society and risk and, in fact, bring about suicide and risk and, in fact, bring about psychological damage and other illnesses, because we're learning that the vitamin D that people get from the sunshine and fresh air, well, of course, that plummets when they're kept indoors all the time, particularly in colder climates. So that makes people even more vulnerable to whatever pathogen or germ, various illnesses. So clearly, the threat was never that big from the coronavirus, at least not gargantuan by any means, not like they're saying it. And, however, it's very easy to verify and very easy to prove that staying inside all the time will have untold damages to people psychologically and physically and even spiritually. That is beyond dispute. It's just a question of to what degree, from individual to individual. And different things vary depending on how old you are, what your health status is, what climate you live in. But there's no large amount of speculation there. If you're kept inside all the time, cooped up inside under duress, no less, it is verifiably and indisputably bad for your health. Unlike all the nebulous and, you know, difficult to prove things about COVID-19 that all adds up to, you know, a complete mystery as to how they got everybody to accept it so seriously. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's incredible, really. But in terms of Florida, where we are, I've never changed my shopping habits or anything. I've just gone about my business as normal. But you have seen the increase in mask wearing and things like that, and people doing ridiculous things like making sure they're 6 feet apart and all this nonsense, really. As if you know, when Walmart first started this, they had checkout people stopping you going within 6 feet of the checkout, and then 6 feet again, 6 feet again, six, and the queue was literally halfway up the store to get to a checkout. I don't know about yourself, but I refuse to use the self-checkout. I never have done, and I never will do, because that's just given into the agenda as such, in a small way, but it's still, you're playing into it. And I'll never do that. I'd rather wait in the queue. But the advantage of waiting in the queue is you get to talk to people, you know, and I try deliberately to get in a queue behind somebody who doesn't have a mask on, because I think you're wasting your time trying to talk to somebody in a mask, because firstly, you can't hear what they're saying, and I think they're going to think you're the crazy one. But I've heard them say that we're wearing a mask to protect you, and I say, well, I'm 57 years old. I don't need you to protect me. I'm quite capable of protecting myself. What's your problem?
Oh, absolutely. That's the key thing. Protect yourself, and you know, through the proper diet, through, you know, not drinking too much, whatever the case might be, staying hydrated. We all can not only take care of our health quite well, but in fact, we're all responsible for our health. When you say sovereign independent, the former name of the Irish Sentinel, you can transfer those words to a person who's sovereign and independent. It is not up to people to farm out their health care to experts who have been given police powers, who we call the medical community, you know, to give them quasi-police powers, or at the very least to use their pronouncements and their edicts as the, you know, grist for the police state, is just so wrong-headed, because their whole medical model is so inherently, and in my opinion, hopelessly flawed, because it presupposes that your health is not really your responsibility in any meaningful way, and that you just can do whatever you want, abuse yourself in whatever way you want, and then if stuff breaks down, you go to these mechanics that we call doctors with their white coats on, and we put all our faith in them, an almost childlike faith in them, and you see people wearing masks partly because of that. They have this incredibly deep-seated, almost worshipful view of the medical community. And of course, as we see, Neil, they back that up, especially in America. I'm not sure about UK or Scotland or, you know, where you're originally from, on TV there, but TV here, they're always saying doctors are heroes. You know, you merely become a doctor or a nurse and suddenly you're a hero. So they try and deify these people. It's very misleading, because the primary way of becoming healthy is up to the individual in what they eat and in what they take and what they don't take. It is a personal thing, a personal responsibility. Doctors are mere backup at best.
Absolutely. And you could compare it to the feminist argument that will say, my body, my choice. Well, it's exactly the same for this. There is no difference. You know, so...
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Exactly. But you've been, you know, you're a U.S. citizen now, and you're in Florida. And
I'll just correct you. That I'm not a citizen. I'm just a legal resident.
Yeah,
I have a green card.
Yeah, I misspoke. Sorry. I loosely speaking there, didn't mean that. You know, what you're pointing out in this article, before I move on here, this Hell in a Handbasket bylined article, interesting pen name here, that the journalist for the Independent, Bill Gardner, sees the Oxford Institute professor Adrian Hill stating that the coronavirus is disappearing too quickly, and yet the journalist didn't want to change the narrative. Am I understanding this right?
Well, absolutely right, except he was the Telegraph, I believe. It wasn't Independent. But he didn't seem to question it, certainly not in the article. He may have questioned it in person, say, because if that was said to me, I would say, what do you mean it's gone? Is it over? That's what I would say, because that's the logical argument you'd have to say. If the guy says it's disappearing, well, it's going, isn't it? And it's obviously learned that 6 feet and 2 meters aren't the limit to its ability to get out of the country, I guess.
Yeah, good point. I'll make a note real quick here that it is indeed the Telegraph. Sorry about that flub there. And I'll post this link with the show description when this show automatically archives when we're done, so people can see this Irish Sentinel article about this journalist, Mr. Gardner, who, faced with this pronouncement, still wants the COVID-19 thing to stick around. Now, this is what Mr. Gardner wrote, correct? We're in the bizarre position of wanting COVID to stay, at least for a little while, quote unquote.
I think that was actually the doctor that said that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just skimming the article. Adrian Hill, okay. Yes, you're right. Adrian Hill, we're in the bizarre position of wanting COVID to stay, at least for a little while.
Well, what's bizarre about that is that these are the same guys that are telling us that, you know, thousands of people are dying, and he's openly admitting he wants what he thinks or claims is a very deadly infectious disease to hang around and kill more people.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like a psychological hang-up, isn't it, in a way? It's sort of like the Stockholm Syndrome, where you become conditioned to a certain degree of servitude, and you begin to embrace your jailer, or in this case, you almost embrace, maybe for job security, maybe for other weird psychological hang-up reasons, you know, sort of a weird codependency going on, but you embrace the object, or you embrace the cause, the supposed cause of the servitude or of the tyranny. So it's almost like a form of Stockholm syndrome. Well, COVID's been around so long now, I don't want it to leave.
Well, I would suggest that particular institute, I think it's the Jenner Institute in Oxford University, are well funded by Bill and Melinda Gates. So I guess he has to keep his paycheck as long as he's got it. And if this thing just goes away, then he's not famous anymore, is he?
Yeah, and then, you know, right, starting at the bottom of the food chain, we got about 1 minute before the first break, Neil, you got all these people and companies from all over the world now making a killing selling these masks, whether people need them or not, and certainly huge questions on health, on how healthy they are to wear. But from the mask makers and the mask sellers on up to people like Professor Hill, you have, yes, this, and then Bill and Melinda Gates, and Fauci is connected through WHO, WHO. You know, it's one big happy family standing to make millions of dollars selling masks and standing it to make billions of dollars selling a vaccine that would have to be rushed to market, that would have to almost by definition avoid all the testing and would by definition be highly risky to take at any rate.
Well, any vaccine is highly risky to take, in my opinion.
Certainly, yeah, yeah, in the final analysis, absolutely. This one maybe especially so. But, yeah, very interesting. The journalists not wanting to let go, the professor not wanting to let go, and showing how, you know, they've become kind of subjugated to the whole concept, the whole syndrome, I guess we'd call it, of COVID-19, the COVID-19 syndrome.
Well, they become dependent on it.
Yeah, psychologically, financially, whatever it might be. A little bit of both, perhaps. And here's the first break. We'll be back with more from Neil Foster from the Irish Sentinel. Stay tuned.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573 762 562-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot them an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And welcome back to Stop the Presses, the next segment here, 29 May 2020, your host Mark Anderson. Neil, we have a Florida caller. Tom, are you out there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, gentlemen?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted you to inform you that here in South Florida area, they're saying on the front pages of the two major papers here that the sewage is going to be the first clue if the virus is going to rebound, and if it does, it will be a lot worse. I'm perplexed with this article on the front page of these papers about sewage. Now, the virus is lasting in the sewage of the dead patients or something?
That's an excellent question. Your response, Neil.
I actually saw an article on this, and they said it was due to spillage from water treatment plants. That's what they were trying to say anyway. But how it got into the water treatment plants in the first place is quite a mystery. I don't imagine, you know, it's washing off of people in the showers. So how did it get in there?
I'd like to ask you this question. If now the Herald's saying and all these papers are saying that the sewage may be the real clue of how the rebound is going to go, what about all these illegals at the border that have to, and I saw this on the news the other day, that there's so much raw sewage at the border of the southern border, it's ridiculous. The waste, the sewage, I mean, it's unbelievable. And then you got, and over there by the border of San Diego, they're dumping raw sewage right off the, you know, right over the border. There's sewage running in the ocean. You heard about that?
I've heard about it in a different way. I'll address it after the bottom of the hour, though. Go ahead, Neil. Maybe you want to respond first.
I think it's the same thing tends to happen in the UK as well, and I think a lot of these big corporations are as guilty as anybody for that kind of thing. And as they're saying with this, I think it's just an excuse, this sewage argument that they're saying, oh, well, it could be COVID-19 could be in the water. Well, I mean, how many other chemicals are in that water? Do you think it's going to survive that? because there's a lot of stuff in there. There's pharmaceutical drugs, you name it, are in the water supply these days, and nobody seems to mention that. But suddenly COVID-19's in the water. It's a mystery.
Yeah, they put chemicals in there like chlorine and other things that are supposed to kill pathogens and prevent cholera and things like that. Of course, we won't talk about fluoride, man-made fluoride, and that travesty, that debacle. But I would respond to the caller, Tom. Here in South Texas, last summer, I believe it was, when people were entering the border from the U.S. From Mexico into the U.S. at the Nuevo Progreso port, which is a land-based port of entry between Donna, Texas, and Brownsville, Texas, closer to Donna in Hidalgo County, Texas. People coming up through the caravans when that was still an issue, the store owners in that border town, Progreso, also known as Las Flores, where a lot of American money goes, people go down there to buy cheap pharmaceuticals, get cheap dentists, buy crafts and go to restaurants and whatnot. A lot of American money that goes in there that's been cut way down due to this COVID thing. But the store owners were complaining about people from all sorts of nations, African nations and Central American nations coming up near the border and defecating right on the border, right along the border, literally just going to the bathroom wherever they felt like. And there were so many of them at the time that they were filling the walkway on the bridge from Mexico to the U.S., and I would walk across there and take pictures of them. And so that's where I heard about it, is large amounts of caravan people just defecating, and a lot of them have pneumonia and other verifiably communicable diseases, not these mysterious, purely theoretical things like COVID-19.
Yes, sir. I got to also mention this to you. And I hope next hour you talk about this, and I'll let you go in a minute. But next hour I want you to talk about Bill Gates, these criminal billionaires that they say they want to depopulate the population, but here in the United States they're letting it be flooded with all these illegals. And then you got these Congress people and Senate, Democrats and Republicans. They want to flood this country with more people to come and take these jobs away from young white Americans and black Americans, H-1 visas. I mean, that's more. The more people you let into this country, the more sewage you're going to have, the more waste you're going to have, the more environmentally the country's going to be impacted. We have to have a moratorium on this immigration situation. We don't know what, like you just mentioned, we don't know what diseases are coming here. We don't know what these people are bringing in here. It's absurd. And these people in Congress should be arrested for treason against this country if they keep this up. We have to start taking care of our country first. We cannot allow all these people to keep pouring in here with different ideologies. It doesn't make sense to me. They're not here to basically help the country. They want jobs. They want housing, they want sewage and all that, but, you know, that comes at a cost to this country. And you got this hypocrite Bill Gates saying, well, you know, the world's overpopulated, but in the meantime, I haven't heard him say a damn word about immigration. You don't hear none of that. Gates is playing both sides of the fence, and all these other billionaires. So they live in their little ivory towers. What's that?
We're out of time. We're getting into the ads at the bottom of the hour. I appreciate your call, but we got to move on to the ads, but thank you for your very good points.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit GunConfiscation.com today. That's GunConfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And welcome back to Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson. A quick housekeeping item. As I've noted recently, I've got another shipment of the book Alice and the Money Tree, which is by John Briggs of Hastings, UK. And it's a great, nifty little hardcover book told in rhyme and verse, Alice in Wonderland style illustrations. You can teach your kids and even adults about how the money masters rule the world, how they conduct their monetary trickery. And it is very, very insightful and a fun way, an enjoyable and fun way to get insights on how the money masters put one over on all of us. The usurious system, the debt-based money system that really holds the rest of the pending tyranny together. The media tyranny, the medical tyranny, those things wouldn't be the way they are without the monetary tyranny. I call it M3, like an equation. M3, monetary, medical, and media. Three things that combine together with monetary at the top of the heap to keep the world bound en route to the wrong kind of new world order. So, Alice and the Money Tree, available through me, truthhound2@yahoo.com is my email. Or you can get a hold of me through the station. One book for $10, two books for $15, free shipping. Three or more books, I can maybe even give a better deal even at that point. So there it is. Now my guest today, returning to him, Neil Foster, who writes for the Irish Sentinel. And Neil, do you have upcoming radio shows scheduled that we can announce?
The next one is going to be on Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Is there a particular topic or guest, or can we leave it?
It'll be a kind of news and views thing. I just collect articles as the days go by and see what I've got time to go through, because right now there's just so much.
Very true. And where can people tune in? What's the website to tune in to the show?
It's www.theirishsentinel.com, and you'll see the widget on the right-hand side, Reality Bites Radio. Just click on the widget and it'll take you to the player page and the chat box.
and that'll be live 3 p.m. Eastern time this coming Sunday. And I imagine that those shows are archived. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. I'm glad to hear it. To answer Tom's query a little bit, Tom from Florida, looks like we have another Tom calling in. We'll get to that in just a minute. They're saying, claiming in the Washington Examiner, which is kind of a centrist paper, not as conservative as the Washington Times, but certainly more conservative than the CIA paper known as the Washington Post, which is the Bilderberg Times, really. They're saying here that the coronavirus and the Trump administration's response to the pandemic have slowed down and complicated an already overtaxed American immigration system. And that's according to a report released, this past Wednesday, it looks like, but a very recent report. It goes on to say, the impact of the virus has been felt throughout the system, including in the number of visas being issued worldwide. So that's legal immigration there. Then it goes, and the effect that closed land borders has had on asylum seekers and the number of arrests federal officers are making of illegal immigrants within the U.S. So apparently enforcement is up and the overall number of entries, both legal and illegal, is down somewhat. I'm going to call that good news, but I'm also going to call it a little bit tentative. But just looking it up real quick during the break here, that's what the Washington Examiner claimed in a May 27 report. That's a two-day-old report by Anna Giriatelli. Giriatelli starts with a G, Giriatelli, something like that. So that's at least an indication of what's going on. Let's hope that that's true. It would only make sense, and it would be absolutely senseless for it to go the other way. Anyway, Neil Foster, so I know it's hard not to talk about COVID-19, but coming into COVID-19, what issues have you been covering over the last couple of years? I know COVID-19 has kind of inundated everything, but what other issues have been of interest in recent times?
Well, I only actually got back into this about 3 or 4 months ago when the lads in Ireland decided to put another paper together. And I only did the first radio show a week past Sunday. So I'm kind of newly into it. I wasn't really paying much attention to anything because I'd been away from here for 3.5 years and I'd so much to do around the house and bits and pieces and just getting back to normal, if we had a normal. We won't have a normal again, I guess. But
I see. So you kind of picked up the journalistic pieces. You had a time away, a hiatus, and by the time you got back into it, COVID-19 was already upon us. Something like that, looks like. Do we still have Neil?
Sorry, I was on mute there. I got here last April after three years and 3 months living in Bulgaria, of all places. But I came back and I didn't really want to get back into it because obviously I've been away from my wife and stuff and we had a life to get on with. And it wasn't until the Irish lads got back in touch and said, you know, do you want to get involved in this? And I was, well, you know, why not? And then COVID hit and I thought, well, you've got to. Because I think everybody's got to do something. If they've not bought into the CNN and Washington Post type of environment, then everybody needs to do something because if they don't, it really will be, as the front page says, the gates of hell unlocked and forget freedom. You know, forget your gun rights and all the rest of it. That'll be gone. As soon as they get their way with this mandatory testing garbage they're going on about for tests that don't work, there's reports of people having to go back 2 and 3 times to get retested because their tests were inconclusive. Well, they're just waiting for a positive one. That's all they're waiting for. So we can say, oh yeah, you're positive now. You have to quarantine for 14 days. So is your whole family and everybody else they've been in contact with over the past 2 weeks or whatever, as long as they say. It's going to get crazy.
You know, that's a good point. It's almost like when they prodded people, nations, I should say, to join the European Union, they'd have an election. And I believe that was Ireland, was one of those, right? The Irish voters.
We actually voted the first time and said, no, we don't want that. And then they came back again and they called it the Lisbon Treaty, which was basically the European Union taking over the Irish Constitution, lock, stock, and barrel. And they just committed voter fraud extensively. And we witnessed it. We followed the vans, we followed the boxes. The voting boxes were sent to people's private houses 2 days before the vote, unlocked. And I went to the count in my local village area where I used to live, and there was only maybe 400 or 500 people eligible to vote, and for argument's sake, we'll say 300 voted. So I got that figure at 10 o'clock at night, and then we started following vans around to see where they were taking the boxes. So we went to the count centre the next day in the morning, after being harassed by police officers, of course, for filming them, but that's just par for the course. And we got in there. I found the box that was allocated to my area. And, yep, the count matched approximately 300 to 500. And I said to the lady, I says, where are the other 200 voting slips? And she said, what do you mean? I said, there should be 200 voting slips in that box, which nobody used. They should be in the box, so it comes to 500. Oh, I don't know anything about that. And not one box in the whole place had a blank slip in it. None. So, and we were voting with pencils. And I was not eligible to vote because it was a vote to change the Irish Constitution and I wasn't an Irish citizen. But I still went down and tried to see what they would do. So I went down and I said, oh, yeah, no problem. So I got to vote, but I just put, it was a yes, no. I put X in both boxes. I actually saw my ticket coming out of the box and they were counting it. But it was absolutely farcical. It was so farcical that before the boxes had been opened, Sky News had already reported it as a yes vote.
There's the key right there. That's the smoking gun. They had not opened the boxes. They would open the boxes in order to do the final count, correct?
Well, they'd open the boxes to do the count from the start. They hadn't even started.
Right. So until they open them, there's no way of counting them.
Allegedly. But if they're already open 2 days before the vote, then they can be very easily counted if you've got all the blank slips to replace the no votes with.
Yes. I follow you. Okay. Yeah. I used to be an election worker, but systems vary. I don't want to try and discern all of that except to say that, yeah, that's all very, very tainted, that whole process. And you were able to vote, even though you weren't a citizen. On top of all that, you were able to vote.
Yes, and many, many others who were clearly not Irish. Let's put it that way.
The obvious comparison is that they repeated the vote till they got the vote they wanted. Well, on the COVID-19 test, they repeat the test until they get the result they want.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and I'll mention before we take the next call that the National Vital Statistics System, and this is part of that Citizen Reporter pamphlet that has been updated and is on the RBN news site on the homepage in the slideshow, COVID-19 pamphlet, urgent update, you can print it out and share it or share it electronically, referring to the National Vital Statistics System, a division of the CDC, federally supported local, state, and national system of sharing data. It says right in there that there's a new ICD code for counting CV-19 deaths. It was new as of March 24th. And it says in there, should COVID-19 be reported on the death certificate only with a confirmed test? Which is a question. And then the answer, COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificate for all decedents or dead people where the disease caused or is assumed to have caused or contributed to death. So they're saying COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificate even when it's only the assumed cause of death. And this is a directive from a CDC related database dated March 24. I mean, get that.
The way to look at that is that look at the heart attack deaths, look at the pneumonia deaths. They've all dropped into the floor. Nobody's dying of heart attacks anymore. Nobody's dying of pneumonia. You know, nobody's dying of the flu. They stopped actually counting the flu figures. I think it was April 4th. because that's when they reckon the flu ends. I guess the flu knows. I don't know. It's like COVID knows what 6 feet is, but then it's told it's 2 meters, which is a different measurement altogether. Go figure.
That's a great point. It's almost as if other statistics are given the short straw now here. Like they don't even matter, and everything is just so hyper fixated on COVID. And I'll mention in passing that Dr. Kerry Mullis, who invented the common PCR test, the most common test evidently for COVID-19, he warned that the test has serious limitations and that it can only detect proteins that are assumed to be unique to the virus. So this is the inventor of the most common test saying, stop the presses, hold it here. Do not put so much faith in this test. You combine that with the new code I just mentioned a minute ago about counting deaths, and you get a completely ambiguous situation, again, in combination with the article that we talked about early in the show, referring to the Telegraph and referring to that Oxford researcher. And you put all that together, Neil, and you have a virtual non-issue, or certainly nothing beyond the normal seriousness of a common flu, being turned into this hyperfixation, this global obsession that has no basis for being treated as such.
Well, absolutely not. And take it back to, I can't remember what the exact date was, but they must have had a target in mind of 10,000 in New York at some date. And overnight, they added 3,700 assumed cases of COVID to get that figure to 10,000. Now, how is that scientifically meritable? Just add them on and assume they're COVID.
Right, coming along at such a convenient time.
They clearly had the figure of 10,000 as a target on a specific date to scare the life out of people. And that's what they did. They just added 3,700 cases on overnight.
Like, lo and behold, look at over here. Who would have expected it? Another almost 4,000 cases. Who would have seen it coming? They facetiously say.
The answer's in the question, the who.
Yeah, who would have seen it coming? WHO, World Health Organization. Okay, we have another Tom, this time from Utah. Is Tom still with us?
Hello.
How's it going, Tom?
Oh, I'm connected. Okay, I didn't hear a click or a buzz or whatever. I don't want to spend any time, but I spent 40 years in the business of identifying and mediating disease. And I'm sitting here just with a broken heart trying to figure out why my colleagues or my fellows have not stepped forward and told the truth. Well, most of them don't know the truth. That's a fact. We compartmentalize people in medicine so they have a little piece of the picture that I spent 40 years of my life and 32 universities, explaining or lecturing or actually exampling, doing lab and field work on these diseases. So when you get a chance, I don't want to go through details here, but when you know the facts about these pathogens, everything you've been told is fraudulent. Everything. I mean everything from the get-go. So if you have the courage, go to my website, poisoningthepoor.com. That's an alias. It'll take you to a website that says Gassing America. And call me. My phone number's at the bottom. I can't call you because I don't have internet where I'm at. I was assaulted and blinded in D.C. Speaking the truth, they don't appreciate it. But give me a call and I'll take you through 5 minutes worth of 40 years of experience and fact. And my heart is breaking that we're willing to listen to idiots and destroy a nation and a world based upon these political and medical whores. Sorry to say it like that, but that's what they are, just whores.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate and, from your perspective, very saddening situation. Tom, I'll read up on your website. I believe you called before, and I'll consider you.
Yeah, give me a call, and I'll take you 5 minutes through the facts on the Coronai, which nearly killed me in 1963 in a lab accident.
Okay. And once I read up, like I was starting to say, I'll probably have you on the show if you're game. Certainly, I'd give you more than 5 minutes, but I'll read up on your site and we'll consider that. And obviously, it's got your number there. Your thoughts, Neil?
Well, yeah, the gentleman is correct.
You got that poisoning the poor or get Neil?
Yeah.
Poisoningthepoor.com. It'll take you. That's an alias. It'll take you to a website that I created when I identified the poisoning of 34 million in America, and the feds have done nothing to correct it.
Yeah,
big surprise.
Well, yeah, big surprise. It's like Agent Orange, Monsanto, and now they're making our food. I mean,
I have my experience with that one, too.
Well, you couldn't make it
anyway,
up, could you?
Yeah.
If this was a Hollywood movie, you know, you could make a real spectacular out of it, but nobody would believe it.
Boy, is that for sure. Tom, what are your thoughts real quick? Why does the medical system not just, you know, kind of as a chance thing, but why do they seemingly and very, very deliberately completely discount naturopathy and homeopathy and other branches of medicinal treatments and other modalities? Why is allopathy, as it's commonly called, so predominant that it presumes to have police powers? You know, the guys with the needles and the scalpels and the you know, the lab coats, they want to rule all. Why is there
it's
no room
the
left?
It is about the money. If you understand what causes your disease, you can remedy it yourself, and you're not dependent upon a white coat or a pharmacy or the bankers that profit from both of those. If you become, educated in your own health, you're going to make the right choices, and you don't have any real need for these sorcerers. I hate to use that term, but of course, when I started to come to a realization of what the problem was, in my experience, when I started to open my mouth, I became a persona non grata. And the reason is that they are worried about their profit. And if you know how to take care of yourself, you're no longer going to be a customer. It's like a used car dealer, or like a repair shop for your car. If you figure out how to fix your own car, you're not going to go to him. So he's going to give you this song and dance, this sophistry. That's what medicine is, it's sophistry. A few things that are good, you know, convince you that it's a worthwhile profession. But most of it is sophistry.
Well, I appreciate your call, Tom. Very interesting. I'll check out your website. I think Neil will, too. And we'll talk more.
I'd be honored if you call me, yes.
Very good. Appreciate your input. Neil, you got the floor.
That goes for listeners, too. If they want to call me, I'll talk them through it.
That sounds good. And again, that is poisoningthepoor.com, and that'll take you to where you want to go, those listening live and on the archive. So, Neil, what is your outlook now? I know are you going to that protest tomorrow?
Yeah, 9 o'clock, I'll be there. It's about an hour and a half from here, but I'll be there. The gentleman's absolutely correct about the money motive as well. But I believe that all the major pharmaceutical giants, the Mercks and those types of people, they were all, as far as I understand, biological and chemical weapons companies primarily when they started out. And we talk about, okay, it's a profit thing, blah, 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 but when you've got that kind of background and you're shooting vaccines into children, you know, literally as they're born, you then have a customer for life. And there's nothing like repeat business, is there? I mean, if you can guarantee repeat business and your government is going to guarantee and buy your product and you have no liability for the damage it causes, well, what a great business model that is. If only we could all have that. We could just be selling junk to anybody and getting away with it. But, I mean, when you come to Bill Gates, he doesn't need the money. It's a lot more about his own personal ideology and that the family behind him. His father, of course, was in the early days of Planned Parenthood. He was one of the heads, as was Julian Huxley, was the first head, I believe. And his brother, Aldous Huxley, of course, wrote Brave New World. And here we are. We're going into it.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, sort of the bookend of 1984, Brave New World in 1984 being the most notorious dystopian books that some call a warning about the future and others call handbooks for the future, depending on which end of the telescope you're looking down. But yeah, you make a great point there, Neil, that with Bill Gates, it's beyond money. And according to the Church Militant, a Catholic investigative outfit in Eastern Michigan, Bill Gates's vaccines are responsible directly for deaths and paralysis in third world countries. And this is
the Navajo Indians.
Oh, Tom, I didn't know you were still with us. Oh,
yeah, the Navajos got their injections early in the winter. That's why they're going down now.
Interesting. Well, I'll look that up. At any rate, Neil, how often does the Irish Sentinel come out? We got just a couple minutes left. Is that a monthly?
No, we're looking at the next one's going to be July, August.
Oh, kind of a semi-monthly or quarterly right now?
Yeah, yeah. But okay. I just to add to that, I think I read this quote out to you, or you've seen this quote before, from the first head of the World Health Organization, Dr., he calls himself, George Brock Chisholm, and he was a psychiatrist, but he said, and this is back in 1952, I believe, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Now, that to me sounds like Agenda 2030, which is what we're going into now.
And he said those words quite some time ago, I believe.
1952.
Yeah. And so, you know, these things, you know, you keep coming around to the same stark reality that we're dealing with people that are setting up this post-COVID system. And there's a lot of things that I would change about the world. And I would use COVID as an excuse. There's a lot of things I'd change for the better, the monetary system, the education system, but they want to change it for the worse. And the people that want to do this, as we try to expose in our respective news outlets, are people that think in terms of centuries. And the average person living paycheck to paycheck, meal to meal, has a very hard time even conceiving of people that think in terms of centuries. But that's what we're dealing with.
Well, they also say that if that was really going on, somebody would tell us. The media would tell us.
Oh. Yeah, there is simply not a chance that that's going to happen. And any reporter that thought about it would be quickly out of work. Well, I want to thank you, Neil Foster of the Irish Sentinel.
It is faster, safer, and more reliable.
See you next time.
Ease off, lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the ease off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my ease off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Easeoff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.